Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Ambassador Vicky Huddleston, who served as a career diplomat in Africa and Latin America. She was a U.S. ambassador to Madagascar and to Mali, as well as Deputy Assistant Secretary for Africa, and was the chief U.S. diplomat in Cuba from 1999 to 2002, and Deputy Chief of Mission in Port-au-Prince, Haiti from 1994 to 1995. She has received various Department of State awards, including the Distinguished Medal of Honor, Distinguished Honor Award, and a Presidential Meritorious Service Award. She recently had an op-ed in the New York Times, Why We Must Help Save Mali. Welcome to Background Briefing, Ambassador Vicky Huddleston.
Hi, Ian. Nice to be with you.
And I was wanting to get a broader sense of what's roiling the region of North Africa, where clearly there is residue from the terrorism, residue of terrorism from Algeria going back to the bloody civil war there. And, of course, the recent influx of arms from Libya appear to be turning the Sahel into a new front in the war on terror. You were speaking with me earlier, and you said that much of this could have been avoided, but our attention has been elsewhere, Iraq, Afghanistan, etc., and we're somewhat, too little too late, and this could have been solved a lot earlier. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, that's a fair assessment, and it's really very sad. And, of course, as you say, there was Iraq, there was Afghanistan, there was Yemen, there was Somalia. But when you look at it and you say, look what has happened. These jihadist extremists now control an area that's the size of France in northern Mali, and they operate with impunity from the Atlantic Ocean in Mauritania, up through Algeria, where they took the hostages at the BP gas plant, across into Libya, where they're getting their weapons, and then down through Chad, Niger, Mali, and they have even linked up with the bloody Boko Haram that blew up the UN headquarters. How did we let it happen?
Well, it's in just speaking of Nigeria for a second, some of the troops that were heading from Nigeria to be deployed in Mali were killed in Nigeria, apparently by an Islamist group. I don't know what it was, Boko Haram, but...
Undoubtedly. It was undoubtedly Boko Haram in the north, and that's one of the things, actually, kind of to jump ahead to the solution that really worries me. It's wonderful that the West African troops, the West African Economic Community has gotten behind this. They're willing to give troops. But Nigeria is not the country to lead this. Nigeria has dealt very, very poorly with their own insurgency, the Boko Haram, which is linked to the Al-Qaeda franchise in Mali. They, in fact, have probably created more terrorists than would have been terrorists in their brutal methods of suppressing it. They should be part of the solution, but we need to have France or Algeria lead this effort. We need a country that has real military capacity, and the only countries in Africa that really have that kind of capacity are the North African countries and Ethiopia, but Ethiopia has its hands full in Sudan.
So what's it come down to? What African country can substitute for France?
Algeria. Algeria is the solution, not just to the military problem, which is defeat this Al-Qaeda terrorist group that should have been defeated long ago, 10 years ago, in fact, when they had 200 disaffected troops who had come into Mali because they were running from being defeated after a 10-year civil war in Algeria. But instead of defeating them or helping the country to defeat them, we tried to contain them. And you cannot contain terrorism. It has to be defeated. So Algeria is the key. They know the area. These are their terrorists, if you will, and they have a thoroughly professional military that can do the job, as we saw in the case of the hostage crisis.
Again, I'm speaking with Ambassador Vicki Huddleston, who is a career diplomat in Africa and Latin America. She was U.S. Ambassador to Madagascar and to Mali and was Deputy Assistant Secretary for Africa. And we're talking about the roiling area in North Africa, the Sahel, as it's called, where largely the Tuareg people are. And there is a sort of something of a disconnect from what I understand. We in the West see our intervention, or France's intervention in Mali, as a way to stop Al-Qaeda in the Islamic Maghreb. But to the Malians, they see it as an intervention to stop the Tuareg, don't they?
No, I would correct that a little bit. I mean, it's partially true, but if I could spend a moment in talking about that. The real serious problem is the Al-Qaeda franchise. You mentioned Al-Qaeda and the Islamic Maghreb, and that has to be defeated. It's a remnant of the Civil War. It has grown strong and powerful with taking hostages, Western hostages. As one of the jihadis said, the West is playing for the jihad because the West has paid over $90 million for those hostages. It's taken over the smuggling routes, so it has the arms that came out of Libya when Gaddafi fell. So this jihadi movement that was once 200 is probably 2,000 with extremists from around Africa and around the world who have experience and they're capable fighters. Now what happened is that the Tuaregs that you mentioned, who are the nomads of northern Mali, they linked up, their rebel movements linked up with this Al-Qaeda franchise, thinking this was a way that they would be able to gain independence. The Tuaregs are a nomadic group from North Africa that, along with the Berberish, the Arabs, the Kuntas, who live north of the Niger River, and extend in an area. They're not just isolated in Mali. They extend in an area that includes Niger, Libya, Algeria, and Chad, that they, since independence, have had four rebellions for, since Mali's independence, have had four rebellions for their own independence. They need to have some form of autonomy because Mali is the poorest country, one of the poorest countries in the world. The North is even poor. These are nomads, North Africans, speak Arabic, Tamashek, are completely different than the sub-Saharan Malians, who are 90% of the population and control all the levers of power. So they need to have a form of independence to satisfy their desires, and with that, they could form a defense group that would be mentored by the African Union troops and could begin to police this area. I really think that's the only solution, but we do have to recognize that Tuaregs and the other groups up there have legitimate grievances.
So, Ambassador Vicki Huddleston, again, former U.S. ambassador to Mali, the idea of working with Algeria now. My understanding of the history was that there were about a decade ago, there was an election in which the Islamic Salvation Front looked like they were going to win, and the elections were cancelled, that's led to a bloody civil war where the Algerian military government fought. I think at least 200,000 people died. The Islamists themselves became, whatever their original political intentions were in terms of the Islamic Salvation Front, they turned into absolute dead enders and the most psychotic, murderous group that one can imagine. There was a very interesting a movie that I saw about it some time back about a bunch of monks being captured by them.
Excellent movie.
Yeah, it was really, and I think it told the story about the insanity of these people. Now, they got driven across the southern border of Algeria into Mali, and you're saying that they were not finished off. But how can we, the United States, deal with this government in Algeria? Isn't that it's a security state. It's not a democratic government. Or is this situation beyond the niceties of democracy?
Oh, well, I think you're being a bit harsh. I mean, your history is great, but I think, Ian, you're being a little harsh on the Algerian government. What you're talking about is 20 years ago.
Right.
The Algerian Civil War ended in 2002 after 10 bloody years, and the government has evolved and it's greatly improved. I am not going to say it's a democracy, but you look at North Africa, there were no democracies in North Africa. Now Tunisia, Egypt, and Libya have been overthrown. They're all struggling with some form of democracy. Algeria remains a semi-autocratic state, and Morocco is still a monarchy, but a liberalizing monarchy. But one of the major problems now is North Africa is no longer strong, and so that means that terrorism can take more root in that area, extremism can take more root in that area, and then it can hook up with, as it has, in fact, in Mali and carry out these terrorist attacks. So is Algeria a perfect government? No. Is it representative of what we saw in North Africa prior to the Arab Spring? Yes, only better. Can they deal with this problem in cooperation with France, in cooperation with ourselves and with African troops? I believe they can. I think they would be an excellent co-leader. If we want to keep Nigeria to represent the West Africa, then why not a co-lead with Algeria?
Now, but didn't the Algerian government support Gaddafi and harbor his people? I mean, they weren't happy about the U.S. intervention there, were they?
Actually, that's a great point. They were very, very unhappy. But the reason they were very, very unhappy, and nobody really talked about it, and I don't think anybody really understood, they saw exactly what was going to happen. Because Gaddafi kept the peace in northern Mali. What he did with the Malian government is arrange with the Tuaregs to have a certain clan be in charge of the area. And those who didn't like it were invited to go up to Libya and enter in Gaddafi's army. So Gaddafi had lots of Tuareg troops and obviously Berbish and Arab as well. And when Gaddafi fell, and I think the Libya war was a humanitarian war, that was a good thing to see the end of a cruel dictator like Gaddafi. But let's face it, when his armories opened up, those arms poured into Mali. It was as if everything was ready. Already you had the Al-Qaeda franchise with their guns, with their money from their kidnapping, with the control of the trade routes. You had a rebellion brewing from the Tuaregs, and like sort of this big blister blowing up, and then suddenly Libya weapons and Tuaregs come back. They light the fuse or they prick the blister, and the evil just flows out throughout Mali.
And how, just to get a sense of what can be done. I'm not aware that the Algerian government are offering any, but maybe this incident that just took place may bring them to recognize that they do have a security problem on their southern border. Not that presumably they know that, but the Moroccans have been at war with the Polisarios in the south, haven't they, for a long, long time? And that they haven't been able to contain that, have they, or at least have any victory?
Well, you know, this is one of the most complex issues, not just in Africa, but in the world, because Algeria and Morocco, because of Spanish Sierra, Sahrawi, don't get along at all, and you have some of the terrorists now that are extremists have come actually from Sahrawi in to join the Al-Qaeda extremists. But the thing about Algeria is that Algeria has been hesitant to get into this, but yet it was Algeria that set up the cell of Mauritania, Mali, Niger, to confront and defeat the Al-Qaeda terrorists in the Sahel. Unfortunately, they weren't very effective. They weren't very effective because we failed to provide them with the intelligence. We were willing to train the Malians, but we weren't willing to mentor them or go with them into patrolling to make sure that they were actually carrying out a strategic plan. We didn't work in an effective regional basis. So Algeria worked on this a little bit, but they wouldn't go into Mali. Even though the Malians said, you can come in, you can go after these terrorists, but Algeria refused to do so. Some people say they did that because they wanted to keep them in northern Mali, because their goal, their original goal, has always been to overthrow the Algerian government, which goes back to what you said originally, when the Algerian military closed down the elections because they were afraid that extremists would win.
Well, Ambassador Vicki Huddleston, I hope we can have another conversation, because I can tell there's a lot more to learn about this, and I thank you so much for joining us.
Ian, it's been great, and I look forward to the next time.
Thank you. Again, I've been speaking with Ambassador Vicki Huddleston, who served as a career diplomat in Africa and Latin America. She was U.S. Ambassador to Madagascar and Mali, as well as Deputy Assistant Secretary for Africa, as well as Chief U.S. Diplomat in Cuba and Deputy Chief of Mission in Port-au-Prince, Haiti. And she has an op-ed, or recently had an op-ed in the New York Times, Why We Must Help Save Mali. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. This program is available for podcasting at ianmasters.com. You can also contact me. And the conversation continues at facebook.com/IanMastersMedia. And I'll be back again tomorrow at 5 p.m. with another Background Briefing. Bye for now. Disappeared by half.